Good morning. If you're visiting with us for the first time, no, Pastor New doesn't dress like this every Sunday. He's not a Jedi Knight. My name is John. I'm your guest speaker for the last two Sundays. This is my third Sunday here. My goal for you is that you might discover who this Jesus is. Was that he was fully man, but yet he was fully God. Pastor New will be back next week to conduct your Easter service Sunday. So today, this is my last time here. I've been thoroughly enjoying it. I got to do all kinds of stuff. I got to eat this thing called a hamburger. If you add cheese on it, it costs a little bit extra. You guys familiar with that? I didn't have that back then. At worship, I thoroughly enjoy your worship services, by the way. Back then, we just sat on clay floor. The light was a little candle. And we didn't have inspirational speakers or quotes or things to get you to remember. We just opened the Bible and we read Psalms and we would retell the stories of Jesus. That was church service for us. We certainly didn't have a Bible in our hands either. We used to have these things called scrolls. And only the high priest have access to it. So we would go to the temple and we would sit there and we would hear the high priest read the scroll. That was church for us back then. You guys are blessed. You guys are way more advanced than we were. Oh, by the way, you published my book. It's right in the rows. You want to take one home, you're more than welcome to. My name is John. If you want me to sign it today, this is my last day here. I'll sign it, autograph it before you go home today as well. But I'm here. I'm available. Those of you watching online, I want to welcome you as well. I heard we have viewers from Nevada, Oklahoma, Michigan. Brazil is here in person, so we can't say hello to Brazil. Vavo, he's visiting for the next week as well. Virginia, West Coast, good to see all of you. So you probably, where? Sweden? You're from Sweden? Welcome. Wow. Well, I'm sorry you missed Pastor New. By the way, he's great. By the way, I mean, he's really good. Really funny, too. Make sure you laugh during his jokes, okay? Because his congregation doesn't, okay? Except one. So you probably heard of the Passover. When Jesus basically conducted his own death, which I expressed that to you the first week I was here. Then he was betrayed by a friend with a kiss last week by Judas in the Garden of Gethsemane. Today I'm working backwards a little bit. We're talking about the triumphal entry, Palm Sunday. If you don't have a palm, make sure you get one on your way out. You should have picked one up on your way in. But the reason we call this Palm Sunday is because when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the crowd welcomed him. They waved palm branches and they shouted, "Welcome! Hosanna! Hosanna!" This was right at the gate of Jerusalem. On Friday, he was crucified. It's amazing how 6 days changes everything. On Sunday, like you call today, Palm Sunday, he descended from the Mount of Olives to enter into Jerusalem. On Monday, he went into the temple and he flipped some tables. You guys might have heard that already from Pastor New in the past or past pastors. On Tuesday, he had the Passover meal. On Wednesday and Thursday, he stand trials. And on Friday, he was crucified. On Saturday, he was silent. On Friday, you call it Good Friday, but at the time, you know, to think about it, it wasn't so good for his family and his followers either, wasn't it? After Jesus went on the cross on Saturday, the world awaits. We all went back to our homes, and whatever going to happen to this Jesus, we waited, and everybody was silent. Looking back, it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? I mean, think about this. at the time we didn't know, but looking back as we see the scripture come to life, God created the world in 6 days. And on the seventh day, he rested. And he said, it was very good. Jesus, from Palm Sunday to Friday, was also 6 days. On the seventh day, silence. And Jesus says, it is finished on the cross. In the Garden of Eden, it was very good. On the day where Jesus went on the cross, it was finished. The world collided, didn't it? Today, I want to focus you on the significant event of this triumphal entry, on this entering into Jerusalem. It was a Passover week, and you heard about the Passover. It might not mean a whole lot to you. For us Jewish people, it was the most important day of the year. Everyone came to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. You heard it. They traveled in companies where Jesus' parents, mother Mary and Joseph, forgot Jesus in Jerusalem. Kind of like Pastor New left his kid here at church 2 weeks ago. I can see how that happened when you travel in the crowd. So just give you an idea. Everybody come to Jerusalem this time of the year to celebrate the Passover. This was a huge deal. So Jesus left the Mount of Olives, enter into Jerusalem. And everybody came out with palm branches, waving, Hosanna, Hosanna. They put clothes on the ground as they welcome him. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. A king riding on a donkey. I want you to visualize this. See, this might not mean a whole lot to you, okay? But I want you to visualize this. This is what it looks like. Here we go. This was Mount of Olives. I'm standing on top of Mount Olives. You see that golden dome? That's the temple. It's about 300 yards descend into Jerusalem. So the entire time as Jesus leaving the Mount of Olives to go into Jerusalem, the temple was in his sight the entire time. I want you to say this. The entire time Jesus leaving Mount Olives to descend into Jerusalem, a 300 yards descent, the temple was in his sight the entire time. That golden dome is where God meets his people. The temple is where the high priest performed its sacrifice every year to take away our sins. The temple is the house of God. The temple is where king would go pray before they go off to war. And that's the first thing they do when they return from war, riding on the donkey. Oh, well, one time they asked Jesus, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the leaders at the time. They said, Jesus, how can you prove to us who you are? I mean, if you're really who you are, can you prove to us? And he says, destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. The temple was in his sight the entire time. So right when he set foot at the temple gate, he wept. He cried over Jerusalem. Why? Why would Jesus approach Jerusalem and he cried over Jerusalem? And this is what he said. If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. He approached Jerusalem. The temple was in his sight the whole time. It's a 300 yards descent. He set foot at the gate and he wept. And he says, you, only you would understand, would know that today what would bring you peace. Looking back, it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? He was himself the temple that takes away our sins. Jesus is the place where we go to meet God, to find forgiveness and hope. Through Jesus is how we meet this God who loves us. His body would destroy, and 3 days he rose again. It makes perfect sense, doesn't it? That the ancient text of this Messiah was standing in front of them, the true peace, not that golden dome, but true peace, the true temple. And they didn't see it. And it made him sad. And he wept over Jerusalem. They had no idea that the new temple was standing right in front of them. After Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he crossed over with his disciples. Speaking of Mount Olive, I want to tell you how special this place is. So go back to the picture of Mount Olive. The Mount of Olives. So Jesus prayed with his disciples, and him and his disciples, myself included, and he took me with him. I was there with him, and we crossed this river. It might not mean anything to you, but it's called the Kidron Valley. The Kidron Valley. Now, looking back, it makes perfect sense now, because the Kidron Valley is this very same valley, the very same location that King David left his castle when he was betrayed by his own son, Absalom. He was removed from his throne, and he crossed this valley, the same valley that Jesus crossed. Looking back, it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Us Jewish people was anticipating someone from the lineage of David. Us Jewish people was expecting a Messiah going to come and save us from the streets of Rome. Us Jewish people was expecting someone to be a king from the lineage of David to save us. However, Jesus was portrayed by his own sons, you and I, by Israel, that he crossed the same valley, illustrating he was what we've been waiting for. Jesus, fully man, fully God, was portrayed by his own, children. We are the children of God. We sang it. I'm a child of God. He was betrayed by our own sins. Our sins put him on the cross. And Judas, ironically, he was the only apostle from the tribe of Judah. Jesus was also from the tribe of Judah. And God had always promised that out of Judah, I will bring you your son, the son that will save the world. 1,000 years earlier, David was betrayed by his own son, Absalom. 1,000 years later, Jesus, from the lineage of David, was betrayed by his own sons, the nation of Israel. But we knew this was going to happen, because 400 years later, Zechariah actually said it in the temple. I'll read it to you. Then the Lord go out and fight against those nations as he fights on a day of battle. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, forming a great valley with half of the mountain moving north and half moving south. Mount Olives, this special place. This is the same exact place where Jesus actually resurrected and went to heaven. The same exact location. Now, I don't know this for sure, and I hope, but I'm convinced when Jesus comes back, it's going to be on Mount Olive. I'm just saying, that place is a very special place throughout the scripture. So, on Palm Sunday, Jesus march into Jerusalem. Palm branches were fulfilling. He was fulfilling a prophecy. Listen to this prophecy. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. What is fascinating about this was a political and a spiritual statement that Jesus is doing. This was a political and a spiritual statement that Jesus was doing. Just so you know, kings, when they come back from war in times of peace, they ride on donkeys. Kings, before they go off to war, they go to the temple to pray, they ride on donkeys. So when Jesus came, he was making a political statement to Rome. I am coming in peace because the war has already been won. There's nothing you're going to do to stop this. One out of three who roams the street of Rome were slaves. So when Jesus came in riding on a donkey, they shouted, Hosanna! Hosanna! Can you imagine if you are the emperor of Rome hearing this? The word Hosanna literally means save now. So two out of the three, or one out of two in the street of Rome who were slaves, they broke out and shout and say, Hosanna, Hosanna, for the emperor who was sitting on his throne hearing this. He is in fear. Why are people saying, save now, save now? As Jesus riding on the donkey into Jerusalem, and he set foot at the gate and he wept. Jesus was sad at the very fact that he's the new true peace standing in front of him, and they didn't recognize him. They didn't see it. Jesus brought peace here on earth and in heaven. He's the one true peace that we all have been looking for. And some of you haven't recognized it either. And some of you who are watching online haven't seen it. See, throughout history, God would speak to our people through the patriarchs like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses. And after that generation, he spoke to us through prophets like Aaron and Elijah and Daniel and Jeremiah. And after that period, he would speak to us through kings like David and Solomon and Hezekiah. At the triumphal entry, Jesus fulfilled his own prophecy. He was a prophet. At the triumphal entry, Jesus riding on a donkey, who is a king. At the triumphal entry, Jesus went to the temple. He died on a cross, making his very own body as the sacrifice. He was the priest. When Jesus sat on the donkey and the waving palm branches in victory, he was prophet, priest, and king. The ancient text stood up in the flesh. I said it in my book, John chapter 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, God's Word, and the Word became flesh. Peace came to earth in the flesh and stood in front of us, and we didn't recognize it. Prophet, priest, and king. And we missed it. This is one time. Early in the morning, the Pharisees would bring this woman out. And they threw her in front of Jesus. and say, Jesus, we have a scenario. What do you want to do with this woman? We caught her in the very act of committing adultery. Now, according to your law, she should be stoned to death. Jesus looked at her and looked at them. Of course, he was put in a pickle. Does he honor the law and stone this woman to death? Or is he going to exercise his authority on heaven and on earth as a God who loves his children? So instead of giving him an answer, I was standing right there. And there's the Pharisees, and there's this woman who was caught in the act of adultery. Yes, in our law, she deserves death. She deserves to be stoned. But instead of Jesus giving the verdict or playing into the Pharisees and their laws, he bent down on the ground. He began to write. I couldn't make out what he was writing at the time. But I was right there. The Pharisees, the woman, Jesus. The moment Jesus bent down to write, watch your eyes. What'd you just do? Your eyes look at me just now, didn't you? Your eyes follow me. The same way at that moment, every eyes looked at Jesus as he bent down. At that moment, he was at the same level as the prostitute. But instead of looking at her, we all looked at Jesus. Now, I didn't make it out what he wrote. But at that moment, we all realize we're all sinners. We're just like her. But when we take our eyes off of judging people, off of her and off of ourselves, of how righteous we are, and we take our own eyes and we look at Jesus, all of a sudden, true peace settle in. A true peace comes when we fix our eyes on Jesus, not our problems. He sets us free from this earthly bondage and gives us peace eternally with God in heaven. True peace is when you look at your own messes and you turn your eyes to Jesus. That is what happened on the triumphal entry. You have this Jesus who is fully man, but a priest, a king, and a prophet. The ancient texts became flesh for us to look at. Don't miss it. And he stood in front of the gate, Jerusalem, and he wept. And he says, peace is standing in front of you, and you have no idea. No idea. On the Passover meal, if you have one of these, go ahead and take it out. I want you to know how special this is. On the Passover meal, Jesus says, this is my body for you. And he took the cup and he says, this is the new blood of the covenant. Wash away your sins. I want you to understand how special this is. When Jesus went down from Mount Olive into Jerusalem, he went to the temple and became the sacrifice. The prophet, the priest, and the king became the sacrifice to take away our sins and to give us true peace. And I appreciate so much that every Sunday here, for the last three Sundays I've been here, that your focus always on the cross. That's the only reason you're here. And the only reason you're here because of this. And when you take this every Sunday, may you be reminded that you are a child of God and your sins been washed away. And he says, this is my body for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's take it together. In the same way, he took the cup and he says, do this in remembrance of me. When you take that, you are proclaiming that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior until he returns. And you if you take it and you kind of not understand it yet, I ask you, it's okay. God has grace. But don't take it until you come to term that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior. That's what you're proclaiming. As you walk in this morning, you got a palm. We do that because I want to remind you how special this Palm Sunday is. We wave palms when kings come back to war in times of peace. When Jesus came, we wave palms because he's our king who came in peace. Something you might not know, it's during the time of Joshua. When God promised Joshua the promised land, the land overflowing with milk and honey. Well, the milk and honey is from the fruit called dates that has palm leaves. It produces a sweet taste of juice like honey, and it's thick like milk. So when Jesus entered into Jerusalem and we wave palm leaves, that is your new promised land found in Jesus Christ. Amen? So as you take this week, you put it at your dinner table. And as your family gathered together this week before Easter Sunday, may you be reminded what Palm Sunday really means. A priest, a king, and a prophet. The ancient text stood in front of you and made this remind you that he's in your house. And that's where you find peace. The next few moments, I want you to spend some time in prayer. Hold this close to your heart and pray. Ask God. Talk to him. He wants to hear from you. Whatever it is in your heart, pray. God, we give you thanks. God, forgive us where we fall short. All of us in this room. Deserve, and you call it grace. We didn't earn it. You say it's freely given. We didn't work for it. You call it a free gift. We didn't try to work hard enough so we can reach heaven. You came to us. Us that you are a prophet, you are a priest, and you are a king who died on the cross, betrayed by your own people, the children of Israel. The same way King David was betrayed by his own son, Absalom, that dethroned him. But you resurrected on the third day as king. So, Father, we ask and we pray that we give you all the glory and for saving us. Help us to find peace. Standing right in front of us. Help us to see it.